is what? Plug into the power of prayer. Do you plug into it? Do you know you can plug into it? Do you have a receptacle to plug into? You got the plug, but you don't have the receptacle. Or maybe the receptacle is there, but you don't have the plug. And I hopefully today we'll kind of look at some things, and it's going to come out of James. Talks about, you know, praying for those that are sick and things, and we'll want to look at that. But I guess as I was searching through this and just kind of seeing where we wanted to take this today, when we come to the subject of prayer or praying, when do you pray? Answer that to yourself. You know, well, let's see, when do I pray? And do you pray when everything is going good all the time? Or is it one of these things that you pray at the end when all of this stuff is just a train wreck in your life or something has just gone upside down in your world, and then we decide, I better pray? And a lot of times we find that the latter part, people look at that. When everything's going well, everything's fine. We don't even think about God because everything's going good. Life is good. Job is good. Family's good. Health is good. Finances are good. And we have that danger of putting God off to the side because everything is good. But then let one little bump or a hiccup come along, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Lord, we need to have a prayer meeting at church. We need to get on our knees. We need to do whatever. Call the prayer chain. Call the prayer people in the church and turn to God. I'm hoping that we don't wait until we need him to talk to him. I hope that we can talk to him day in and day out this year and any year currently coming up, you know, in the future as well. Because whatever's in the past is what? It's in the past. You can't go back and change that. But you can make an effort today and say, from here on out, I want to begin to conversate with God daily. Talking about resolutions and things and trying to get times of reading the Bible and all. I've got this Bible I was able to get, and it's a chronological Bible, but it's not a devotional. It's a Bible reading daily plan, and it starts in Genesis and works its way through. And I found it very enlightening because it takes time to explain the things happening just before I get ready to read them, and then how it may say you will find this later on in Scripture of how this plays out. And that's very interesting, starting back in Genesis. But you know what? It's every day you would think, hey, I can sit here and read this every day. It's only two or three pages or whatever and some footnotes and things. 4 days into it, I forgot. Things happen all of a sudden. And then I made a conscious effort. I said, well, I got to get back to it. So I did that, and I sat down in early morning, and I was cold weather this week, and all of a sudden something happens, and somebody's car doesn't start. You know, can you help? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it's like, oh, Lord, I just sat down trying to read this, and this is, but that's okay. You'll see how the life in general will pull you away from these things. It's not necessarily the devil all the time. It's just life. Life just has a way of being what? Life. We have it. We deal with it. You got to handle it. But the important thing is, can you get yourself back to it, to what God wants you to do? And that's the thing that we've got to look at. We've got to be able to look at ourselves and say, I got to get myself back into the Word. I got to get myself back into this plan, because while I was in it, I was finding so much in it. I enjoyed it. So just because you're not doing it and on a consistent basis, it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy it, but there are just things in life that come up and things that have to be taken care of. But it's how do you get yourself back to it? And so we've got to have that desire. And probably what was happening, the spirit in me was kind of like, you know, saying, psst, Tim, you need to get back over there. You've let 3 days go. And it's like, I didn't realize it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's been. You go back where your last bookmark is. Oh, man, I got to catch up. So I'm, you know, reading 2 or 3 days at a time, but that's okay. But I'll get myself back into that and that schedule of reading the Word and seeing what it comes up to be here. But it's pretty interesting. But I guess when I got to this for today, it's like prayer meant so much to us towards the end of the year last year, because we had Jim Simbla and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, or the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and the choir is there, talking about prayer, when my people pray. And I found it very interesting that some of the pastors that I got with this past fall, and getting with them again even now, you know, they would come around and say, well, Tim, what's on your heart, you know, just this last week? And I had to go back to prayer. And this other pastor says, man, he says, when you start talking about that, he says, it just starts stirring it up in me, you know? And it's like, well, I didn't mean to do that, but I think that has a way of doing it. When you talk about those things that are close to God's heart, that it does have a tendency to stir up others. And others would start talking about it, and it gets me excited about it, you know? And it was very interesting, very encouraging to have that other pastor share that. It's like, you know, when you said that, it stirred in me, and I was thinking about this and thinking about that and all these things. And so prayer is where it's at, right? It's where it's at. Prayer touches God's heart. And who wouldn't want to touch God's heart? So as we look at these things, many people see prayer as the last resort to be used when all else has failed. I've been there. I'm telling myself. Maybe you guys haven't. As you can guess, this is the backward approach. Prayer should come first in all of our circumstances and in our daily walk with God. And maybe now I'm praying a lot more consistently and a lot more pre-prayer, you know, about things and just keeping God in the whole mix of my life than I did in the past. Are you doing that? Are you keeping God in the daily, ongoing things of your life in prayer and just asking God to direct it and protect it? And you know, you find that you begin to pray for others very, very easily because all of a sudden they come upon your thoughts and your heart and you think, wow, so-and-so, I gotta lift them up. Oh, this name comes to me. I got to lift them up. It's not to say that you spend 25 minutes praying for that individual or 10 minutes or 12 or whatever the time frame is. It's just when all of a sudden in your spirit that hits you, you just lift up, well, Father, I just lift up Steve to you. I just lift up Bob to you or whatever. I lift up Jill to you and ask you to be there with them. That's what it's all about. We're not trying to get you into where when that hits you that you've got to stop what you're doing in life and go to church and get at the altar and pray for these needs or these people or these situations. It's just walking a life of prayer that you can just talk to God in a way of knowing that you are touching his heart and that he's listening to you. We've got to understand that when we do pray, that you are praying to God and God is listening and God is hearing. Do you believe that? Do you trust him to listen to you and to hear what you're saying? Do you trust him to take what you're saying and work it within what he's wanting to accomplish, of course? That, you know, you don't twist his arm to have him do something that he's not wanting to do, but that you're able to at least pray for the person and their needs and knowing that what they're going through somewhat, that you can at least address it to God and say, Lord, let your will be done. Even in our life, in my family, just had wonderful news that, you know, our youngest son, Micah, he's moving back to the area. He's got his job here. It worked out to where he put his name in the thing, and the, you know, his work ethic and all just was wonderful. And anyway, but, you know, every time I talked to Micah, I'd say, well, Micah, I'm praying for you, and I just ask God's will be done. Now, my will was I want him to come back. I don't care what it is, God. I want him to be here because he's one of our kids and we miss him. Oh, he's only 2.5 hours or maybe 2 hours away. It's not like he's around the world. But, you know, when you're a family and you love your kids and you love to be around when you have a function or a birthday party or something like that, not everybody can be there. And there's a missing element there then. There's part of the family not there. So I'm blessed. Dean's blessed. We're blessed to have him. We'll be returning here in another week. But, you know, I went to prayer and I said, you know, Lord, I think this would be a great job, things, blah, 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 blah. But I always had to end it. But, Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in this. Now, if he didn't get it, does that mean I'd be upset with God? Better not be. I hope I've matured enough, not perfectly. I'm not perfecting up here, you know, as high as I should be. But I believe I'm far enough along with God that if it didn't turn out, that I would say, well, Lord, there's another plan. Something else is in the works. We've seen that throughout our life, my wife's life, our thoughts and our plans and what I sensed in the Spirit where he was taking us, that I knew this was what going to happen, but it didn't happen on my timeline. So I began to go, well, Lord, wait a minute. What's going on here? And that's okay to do that. I don't think God got upset when I went to him and said, Lord, I thought I heard you. I thought this is what you said, but I don't see it happening the way that I understood it to be. Why? And then you always have to go back to that level of saying, well, Lord, I trust you. So do you trust God? Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God with everything that you have, your total being? I hope you do, because he's there for us. It's not to say that everything's going to be perfect and that our life is going to be just, you know, peaches and cream. But he's there because he loves us. And my love for him grows. And to make love grow, you've got to work on it. It doesn't just happen. Does a marriage between a man and a woman and the love that we have, does it just happen? You know, maybe in the very early stages of the first two steps of your relationship, because there's just hormones going. I love her. I love him. I don't see nothing wrong with him. I don't see nothing wrong with her. Hormones start settling down a little bit. You're going, oh my gosh, what happened here? Why? How did that sneak by me? That's because your hormones were active, man. And so you get to that level then, but that doesn't say that you made a wrong choice or a wrong decision by marrying that person. It just means that now you've got to do some work. Now you got to do some give and take. Now you got to say, I'm willing to do this and willing to surrender that and willing to change that and whatever the case might be. So you got to work on your relationship with one another as a spouse and a husband and a wife or vice versa. You got to work on that with your children, relationships within your family. It doesn't just happen. I'm sorry, but for those that are old enough, Leave It to Beaver, that was not an identical family throughout the entire country back then. My one brother always asked my mom, why don't you wear pearls? Why don't you wear a dress, Mom, when you're vacuuming? Where's the pearls? Where's all this stuff? You know, it was a good life. It was a good series to watch. It did bring some understanding of what a family was. But it's not like that. It was kind of based off of some things. But even June and Ward had to work at things, you know. And so we've got to work at things as our relationship, but we've also worked at our relationship with God as well. And I think one of the best ways to work with that relationship is to be on a conversation daily with him to learn more about him and to understand him. And for him to hear us and to, yes, hear our desires, hear what we're looking at, here's what our concern, here's my thought, here's what I'm thinking, Lord, this is what I would like, is this what you would like, is this where we want to go, are you going to go with me? Am I in your path? Are you leading me, Lord, or have I strayed, or am I trying to force you to come along my direction? And the only way I'll know that is by being in prayer with him and meditating with him, looking in his word, and let his word sink into my heart, and his word will do that correction within my heart. Remember last week when I was talking about the Lord's Prayer and the compass in a van or a vehicle at one time a few years back? You know, you drive in a circle until it recalculates itself. So there's times in my life that I'm sure I've had to go in circles to get an understanding again of what God is, where he's at, and where he's directing me. But the thing that we've got to understand and be aware of is that each and every one of you here today can pray, and not just for yourself, but for others. And I've got a list of people here that aren't here today that they need prayer. Well, what are we going to do about it? Amen. Do we turn, you know, do we, because they're not here and we want to talk about prayer, but we don't really do prayer, is that one of those things that it gets us by? Is it like going to church and, you know, you sing a hymn and you drop an offering in, you can mark that little check mark there by your name and say, well, I did the Christian duty. Do I do that to where, well, I mentioned prayer and we let them know that they need to pray throughout the week for every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sue and Sally and all these people? I hope today that we want to pray for these people because they're going through situations, whether it's health, a lot of it is medical, and so we want to lift these people up. So we need to realize we need to pray first. Always pray without ceasing, it says. So as I look around today, is anybody here cheerful? Who's here is cheerful? Sing a psalm. Okay, go, sing! La, 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 la. Talks about, is any here sick among us? Call for the elders. So is there anybody sick? If you are, let us know. Anyone suffering? Is anyone here suffering? You know, it depends on what you call suffering, I guess, you know. I think when we get together, a lot of times we look at it and go, yeah, you know, I thought on Monday or Wednesday when I was by myself, I was really suffering. But then when I found out some other situations and other people and what they're going through, I thought, you, boy, you're not suffering, Tim. You know, now, when the wind's blowing and you're trying to start a car and it's cold and you're shoveling and it's 20 below and the wind chill and all that, yeah, maybe you're suffering. I don't know. That could be part of it. But as we go to James 5, feel free to turn there. Plug into the power of prayer. Plug into that power. Goodness, it'd be like everybody, you know, the Alliant Energy has done all they can. They've brought the power from the substation all the way through the blocks and highways and byways down to your neighborhood, and they put the pole in the backyard and they run the wire up to your house, and you've got the power to use and it's right there, but you refuse, or because of not knowing or because of lack of time, you don't plug into it, and now you're sitting in the dark in your house. You know, there's no heat, there's no light, there's nothing happening, but the source is right there. But you have got to make that final connection, don't you? The power company will not come in and hook it up to your fuse box. The power company says, I will bring it to this point to the pole and I'll anchor to your house. Now you find somebody to take it from this meter into your circuit breaker box. And then what happens there? Well, then you find an electrician or somebody that goes from the circuit breaker box and runs all these wires throughout your house so that no matter where you're at in your house, you can plug in to that outlet and you can draw power. So there's things that had to be accomplished in all of that to receive the ultimate reward of what? Energy, power, electricity to run your life. It's the same thing with God. If God has done all of this, he's there, he's said to pray and to pray without ceasing. He's put Jesus at his right hand to intercede for us. He's done all of these things. But the one thing he's not doing is he's not making you pray. Doesn't make you come to him. He doesn't make you receive him. He doesn't make you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He doesn't make you do anything that you don't want to do. He says, you choose what you want to do this day, who you will serve. You decide what you want to do in your life. Cursings and blessings I've laid before you, you decide what path you want to go on. So he's given us all of these opportunities and choices, and I'm so glad. Tracy is into this study of apologetics, Christian apologetics, and Sunday mornings back there. And it's just, it's kind of refreshing because you hear the situations and both sides of, you know, we've talked about today, and he's really digging into it, like the suffering and, well, why does God allow suffering? If God is all loving and powerful and he's done this, why would he do that? And da-da-da-da-da. And it's always good to kind of hear those things again. And begin to hear and stir things up within you, because as Tracy's covering those things, there's things within me stirring of different things in Scripture or things of God's Word that kind of swells up within you that says, well, what about this instance? Well, he said this, or he said that, or he gave a direction of this. So it is all by your desire, your will. Not God's will, but your will. God wants you to pray to him, but he's not going to force you to pray to him. God wants you to come to him, but he's not going to force you to come to him. The thing is, a lot of people will come to him when everything else has failed. And as a loving God and a caring God, he's there for that. He would just say, I wish you would have come earlier, because I've been here waiting. I've been waiting for you for the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case might be, 6 months, 2 weeks. I've been right here waiting, Tim. But you didn't come until I'm your last hope. Well, as God is my last hope, what better hope to have than God? Because he is God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-caring. I may not understand all of his answers. I may not understand how he responds to me, but that's not for him to tell me why. It's for me to figure that out and understand that I do trust my God. And I know that His ways aren't my ways. His thoughts are my thoughts. And we got to get that understanding that that's okay. I don't need to do that. I just need to be obedient and trustworthy and just say, Lord, you're a God of love. I don't care what I see going on around me and all the sadness that's taking place and just the doom and gloom. Yeah, that's all taking place around me. How can you say that he's a God of love? How can you go to church? How can you sing praises? How can you pray to him? Because he is my God. And he does hear me. And I can stand in that gap. And I can lift up a need that I hear on the radio. And I can lift up a need that I might have written down from somebody here in the church or something that I've learned within the community that I need to pray about or at least lift up in prayer. I need to plug into that. I need to pray. We need to pray. We're not praying enough. That's why there's so much taking place in this world is because we don't pray enough. The only time we pray is when there's catastrophe. The only time we pray is when twin towers fall. The only time we pray for a God to take care of this nation is when a catastrophe takes place and thousands are killed, thousands are maimed, things are falling apart, and then we want to pray. Well, when that happens, it's going to take time to clean that mess up. You know, God is not a hocus-pocus God where when those things happen, we can just pray and say, okay, Lord, we're here, we're praying to you now, we just want your protection, we want you to take care, we want all this and take care, boom. Like nothing ever happened. No, we will have to go through those problems and come out the other side. But you'll come out that other side by plugging into prayer, and I would like to plug into prayer before that happens and stay plugged in when it happens, and when I come through it, I'm still plugged into it, knowing that God is answering my prayers and that I am being effective. I am being fervent. Fervent talked about in this, and we get to it, if I can get to it here, is talking about having energy. It's a kind of another translation of looking when you have fervency, it's having energy. And we got to have energy when we pray. Because can I tell you, I got to be truthful. There's times when I want to start praying, I fall asleep. Probably just me. I know we like to have cliches and say, well, it's just because I'm resting within the Lord. That sounds good, but I think there's just times. It's just like you don't have a strong want to. You don't stay persistent. You don't have that fervency, that energy to be in prayer. Oh, I thought there was somebody behind me. It's like you're waving. I'm sorry, it's a little different level. Yeah. Yeah. True. Maybe that is to that point. And not only once, but a couple of times, you know. How would you like to have Jesus come back to you and kind of kick you in the shins? How can you sleep? I just go a stone's throw away from you and you're... And I tell you, if I was back in those days, I would have been the first snorer. I'm sure of it. Just the way it would have happened, I imagine. But then Jesus comes back and we go through that whole thing. Can you not stay awake for just 1 hour? And then, you know, those were the same ones that said, well, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, also, they knew that there was something to it, but that... And then it could be the weight of things. And there is a time to where you don't know when, you know, there could be so much going on in that to where there has been just times of just in whatever, my dreams and things, that seeing God do things and sensing things. And also there's parts of that that play into it well, you know, when he lets you rest. And I think there is a point in time to where, you know, God drops in his thoughts and his spirit or his answers by that of dreams and visions and things that you see out there. But, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, plug into that time of with him day in and day out. And so what I want to get to here, and time is slipping away, is in James 5, it's talking about, in 13 is the well-known place where it starts. It says, is there any among you that is suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone cheerful? Sing psalms. Anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, we just prayed about power in the blood. That's what it's all about. That's what the blood was about, was washing our sins away and cleansing us from those things. 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the effective, remember when I talked about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that earnest prayer, that prayer that you just, you know, high energy, you know, that prayer of high energy of a righteous man avails much. We have to understand what our prayer accomplishes. Now, the enemy might tell you that it ain't going to accomplish anything. The enemy might say, well, did you see any results right now? And it's not for me to see the results right now. It's for me just to pray and to turn them over to God. And then pray again. If he brings that thought process back, that person or that situation, I'll lift it up again. And that's what it's all about. So as we look at this, we find that, you know, the faith that we're talking about here is when we pray for someone, it's not necessarily saying that, do you have faith? And I know there's times that I have asked people when they say, well, could you pray for me? And I've asked them, well, do you have faith? Do you trust that God can heal you? And praise God that they say that they do. But there's also a point in that, and there's a side of that too, that the prayer of faith, that I have faith in God that God will hear my prayers. Now, I don't know for sure if he will heal that person or take care of that situation as I would like, you know, but I pray in faith knowing that God hears my prayer. And I can pray in faith knowing that with my God hearing my prayer, that I can say, but your will be done, Lord. You work through this situation, that there is something that will be accomplished. Will it always come through and fulfill exactly what I want? Chances are not. But there's other chances are that it will. We've had answers to prayer, haven't we? We have prayed for people and situations and kids in the hospitals and birth and babies that have been born and having problems. And God has sustained their life and there has been answers to prayer. So it's not to say that, well, you know, I don't pray with the anticipation that God's not going to answer. I pray with the anticipation and knowing that God will hear and God will respond as God desires and according to his way and his will. Now, we know and we try to get all these things in there that we want everything to be rosy and things, and we want healing and health and all that. And that's all well and good. I mean, I'm not saying you go to somebody and you begin to pray and say, well, Lord, just take them out of here. Not that. But we go and we say, Lord, they're going through this health situation. Strengthen them. Heal them. Take away pain. Take away discomfort. Give them whatever in their system. It's a virus or the flu. Take that away, you know. Take that virus out of their body, you know. Let their breathing come freely. Take away congestion. Take away pneumonia. Take away whatever, you know, whatever the case might be. Take those things away and heal them, Father God. That's the way I pray. And you got to say, thank you for hearing my prayer, Lord. And I know, I guess we got to be careful, and I got to be careful with this, that you say, well, I'm going to always end it by his will be done, but subconsciously in my thoughts, I want God to be doing what he wants. And he wants to touch people. He wants to heal people. The thing is that we don't understand the whole workings of God. And so when we pray for someone and something, they don't get healed here, but there's something in my understanding of Christian faith and my walk with God that says, but if he has taken them to heaven, there is no sickness in heaven. Does that make me feel better? Yes. Am I glad that person died and went to heaven? No. I'm sorrowful. I'm kind of stingy because I don't get to see them no more. But I realize that they're in a much better place. But I understand and I realize that these things, that as I've prayed, I do have to realize that God is God and that I can't pray or make God or twist his arm. Now, there are things, who was that prayed and got an extra 15 years in his life, you know? And so God answers prayer. We see this in Scripture of God answering prayer and doing these things because God is God. But when we look at this, and I'm thinking about people that are suffering, people that are sick, just because we don't know the true outcome and when we pray, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. I mean, I'm not scared to pray. Are you? I'll pray for somebody that has a serious health issue. It's not to say, well, I don't know, you know. I'll pray for somebody that's got, you know, like a sore throat. I feel pretty confident in that, but this person's dealing with, you know, disease of some part that could actually really take their life and quickly. I don't know if I want to pray for that because I just don't know the whole outcome there. It's the growing of your faith. It's the stretching of your faith. Remember at times Pastor Hoblett would say, it's hard to pray for, you know, healing of cancer if you have a hard time believing God can heal your cold. You know? And so it's baby steps of growing in prayer and seeing God move in situations, or with a job, or with finance, or with whatever the case might be, that you've got to grow with those things and develop in these things to understand that when it gets a little bit more serious, that same God that answered that prayer for that cold is the same God that's going to be there to listen to my prayer for this person with heart disease or cancer or pregnancy problems or a child that's been born that is having a difficult time. And God is there to cover that whole spectrum. Isn't that great? That's so good to know that He's there for that. That He's not a God of severity to say, well, I only receive severe prayers on Monday. And if you don't have, you know, the next level of trauma is on Wednesday, you know. No, God listens to all of our prayers because we know in the fallen world that we live in, things are happening, people get sick, people get situations coming up daily that we've got to lift up in prayer when? Now! When we hear it, when it's happening, when we're aware of it, we need to plug into prayer 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Not just on, you know, whatever one day of year and we call National Day of Prayer. Okay, that's great that we can all pray and that's a wonderful thing to do. But if that's the only time that we can get umpteen churches and a group of people together to pray, is that one day we're hurting. Because there's more than one day in this life of a year. And I know that organization, what they're doing, is just that corporate, and it's just a unified prayer and that power of that oneness of going, and nothing negative about that. And I'm sure those that are a part of that, they pray throughout the year. So I'm not saying that they don't pray that way. But sometimes we can get ourselves lulled into a false sense of goody two-shoes by saying, well, we get ourselves involved with that National Day of Prayer or pray for that or pray for this, you know, once or twice a year or whatever. I hope not. I hope we pray every day. You know, I hope we can just conversate with God daily on the needs that we have. So what does that tell you when it says, any among you? Any among you, come and be prayed for. That we should have that ability to say, I need prayer. And I, you know, I've got to understand that even though they may have some level of wavering in their faith of understanding that, well, I hope God prays. And I get all of that stuff. And sometimes I can get myself and share things that, I don't want to say get too religious or get too deep into these things, but sometimes when you hear those things, it's like, well, if you're saying you hope, then that tells me you have doubt, so that means I'm not going to pray. I've said that, and that's a shame on my part. That's bad for me to say that. Because they may walk in doubt, but I need to know that I can walk in faith. That throughout God's word, He did things that astounded and confounded people that didn't even understand what was going on. And so God is God. And I've got to walk my faith knowing that my God is God. And I can't, because I say, well, let me pray for you. And they say, well, I sure hope it works. And I'm going, whoop, I'm not going to pray for you because you're saying you're hoping. I've got to get to that understanding. And I think I do. And I just needed to be woken up in that by looking at this and kind of reading in some of the thoughts and some of the directions of that faith, the righteous prayer of the faith, that person may not have faith in that, but I do. And I trust, Lord God, that You will answer that prayer and that will, if that's what it takes, draw them closer to You. Because that prayer and that faith and what their faith begins to grow in that. Isn't it wonderful that people probably in your past have had more faith than you? And prayed for situations in your life that you had less faith in, but they had faith in knowing. Just myself knowing that God hears my petitions. gives me strength already. Doesn't it to you? Some people think that they're just praying and they don't have a connection with God, or they think it's somewhere out there and it's a mystical thing and he's over here. No, he's over there. But I know that. I just know that he hears these things. And by how do we learn that? By being in the Word, by coming to church, by sitting into studies, by following people and organizations and books and teachings and Bible studies and all these things on God's Word to see how he answered prayer throughout the Old Testament and how he answered prayer throughout the New Testament. And those are the things that I plug into, knowing you did it there, God. You can do it in 2015. My God is not a God that's assigned to just some year way back before time that I'm in. My God is in my time. Hallelujah. My God is with me during where I am at, where I can have a need, I can have a request, a situation, and that I can go to him and call to him, and it doesn't have to be eloquent words and rhyming words and all these things. I can just come to him and say, Lord, I need you. And I want to lift this need up to you. And I trust you, Father God, that you're hearing this and that you know that he already knows that, you know, Bobby Blue is sick. I don't need to say, you know, Bobby is sick. Lord, he knows that. But I want to come to him and say, Lord, now that I know that he's sick, I want to lift him up to you, Lord, because I want to stand in that gap. I want to intercede for him. I want to do what your word tells me to do. And that's what it's about, is us doing what God's word tells us to do. To be a part of that answer to prayer. Isn't it wonderful to think that you could be part of an answer to someone's prayer? Because you came along their path, you came along their life, you interceded, you lifted them up, you were aware, you did something. And because of that, not to make you boastful and not to bring you honor, but to bring glory and honor to God the Father, it's like, hey, I'm a child of God. My daddy hears me. And when I pray to him, I'm believing, I'm knowing. I just know that I know. How do you know? I just know that I know that he hears me. Well, how do you know? Well, get into the scripture where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, you know, interceding, petitioning these things for me, all this stuff we can get into. But sometimes that gets, you can't say and share all that stuff. It's just something within you. Do you have it within you? Do you have to think that you've got to break every verse out to find out why you're like that? Or can you not just take what it says, the gospel is in you, the gospel is alive, it's true, it's working in your life, and I can just say, I don't know how to explain it, but I just know that I know it's true. Well, give me verse and chapter and page. I can't do that, but I just know with what I've read, and I just know my relationship with him. And being around him for several years now and how he's answered things in my life, I just know that he hears me. It's not that I'm special. It's not that I'm one up than you guys. You have the same ability and the same entrance in. Well, who do you use? I use Jesus. Who do you use? I use Jesus. Well, there we go. Hallelujah. Pray this in Jesus' name. It's the same Jesus. It's the same God. It's nothing hocus pocus. It's not that I've got a secret email to him. It's published out there for everybody. Jesus. Hallelujah. God is not trying to hide the way to get answers from him. It's right out there in his word. And it's like, just, you know, pray. And it's right here in James when it says, you know, that, oh my goodness, the effective, fervent prayer of that righteous person avails much. Plug into prayer. So, I didn't get much into where I wanted to go. We'll cover some more of this, but I do want to lift up time of prayer for people. We'll get into where, you know, your prayer makes a difference in lives of others. We've got to understand that. And we'll look at some of the scriptures that show us that your prayer matters to someone else's life. That's a powerful thing to know. That's pretty important to realize that you have that working to be a influence into that person's life. And you know what? They may not even know it. And it's not that you're manipulating and changing their life, but it's because you go to God and you pray for them in a situation, and that, if nothing else, Lord, let their eyes be opened. Let their spirit be opened. That they would receive more from you, or that they would see by the spiritual eyes the deception that maybe is taking place in that situation, whatever the case might be. And so we need to know, and we will go through some areas of where we can pray for others, people, for other people, for their wisdom, for their revelation, for being enlightened by Christ, that we can pray for their inward strength, that we can pray for their knowledge of Christ's love, that we can pray for them that they can know that love abounds in knowledge, that love is there and there's a discernment. We can pray these things for other people. Isn't that exciting? You know, it's not just pray for Tim and my needs. That's nothing. I want to pray for others, and by me praying for others, I feel and I really sense, and God's word will say, I think that he will answer my prayers as I'm praying for others. I don't need to be narrow focused and center focused on Tim. He wants us to look outward. He wants us to see those around us that are hurting, those out there that need prayer, those out there that need answers, that we can stand there for them. We can pray for areas of being equipped for work pleasing to God. You know, if we know somebody that maybe their life is not pleasing to God, what do? You just shut them out and say, well, they're lost. Or do you begin to pray for them? You don't need to go hold their hand and say, let me pray for you, brother or sister. But in my prayer life, in my time of walking this life daily or just out driving or whatever the case might be, I can know if that person is having a situation that, why can't I pray for them, knowing that God can touch them where they're at? They may not even know that God is touching them. They may not even know that someone's been praying for them. But something in their spirit will change. Something in their spirit will open up. Something will begin to develop. Something will begin to grow within them. And it could go back to somebody praying across town, somebody praying across this country for them. And all of a sudden it's like, and when you hear that, don't go, oh, wow, it really works. You know, I probably would do that myself. Wow, that really works. Whew. You know, I get to that point where I say, hey, there you go, God. Praise you. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to worship you, Father God. Hallelujah. Answer that prayer. So I know we've got some things we want to pray about. I want you to remember Blanche. Still just health situations and just intestinal virus or intestinal infection. I don't know what that's all about. And Pat Marco, she's had some testing done for a tumor. I think a lump was found in one of her breasts. And so she's had a secondary check on that, and nothing has come back at this point. I talked to her yesterday, and she says she is not sure when they will hear back. Laura, you know, Zaborski and her sister Joni, they just need help there. Joni's back, and Laura with her knee. They're doing okay, but we're not seeing a lot of people because of the weather and because of some illnesses and because of some things. You know, Pat Marco also had some balance situations taking place there and all that. Lou, he's really sick today. He went with me on pantry on Friday to help me pick up stuff. I said, Lou, you ought to stay home. You should have been in bed. Well, I'm going there when I get back. So Lou is sick. And Terry, I see that Al's not here with you, but I wrote down Al's name, even if he was here. I want to pray for Al. We just keep people in our prayers that way. I know